There's something quite unusual unfolding at the Paris Olympics, so pay close attention, as there is a concealed message here that everyone seems to have missed. But before we dive into that, make sure you take a moment to subscribe so we can become God's largest channel in the world. The rider of this pale horse is carrying an Olympic banner, and behind him are individuals holding flags that represent every nation on Earth, each in a distinct hue. Now, recall that image as you read this verse from Revelation 6, verse 2. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out to conquer and to conquer. Many Christians believe the Antichrist will be the rider of this pale horse. Did you notice it mentioned he would carry a bow? Consider this. In Revelation, the Greek term for bow is toxin, which can signify either a rainbow or a bow and arrow. Fascinating, right? Remember how the Bible narrates the story of God pouring down all his judgment upon the earth during Noah's era? How did God promise he would never act in such a way again? It says he placed a bow, a rainbow, in the sky. It is believed that the Antichrist is armed with a bow. Could this bow actually be a rainbow flag like the one we saw at the Olympics? What if this symbol becomes the Antichrist's method of demanding allegiance, with severe consequences for those who refuse? The pale horse approaches a set of stairs, beginning to trot down the stage. And what else but a golden calf should stand at the center of the platform at the top of these steps? The captivating part of the narrative now begins. How on earth could these organizers, who went through numerous board meetings discussing every detail of the Olympic artwork and design, decide to include a golden calf in the scenery? People raise their eyebrows in disbelief because, as we all know, the golden calf is one of the most famous examples of idolatry in the Bible. What does a golden calf signify in the Bible? It serves as a potent illustration of idolatry and false worship. Do you remember the story behind it? God himself was inscribing the Ten Commandments when Moses ascended Mount Sinai. Afterward, Moses descended the mountain and discovered that the people of God had ceased to serve him. Instead, they had melted all their gold jewelry into a golden calf, which they bowed to, worshipped, and committed various heinous acts. If the Olympic organizers aimed to embrace diversity and acceptance of all religions, then why choose that golden calf as their artwork? What makes this decision even more questionable is that they displayed a massive mechanical bull with a woman seated on top during the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. Then, suddenly, a group of dancers appeared and began bowing and worshiping the bull. Given that the bull is revered and viewed as a symbol of idolatry in the Bible, why would they use such a controversial image for two major ceremonies so close together? It's an extremely dubious decision that has caused quite a few people to shake their heads. Are these choices meant to challenge, provoke, or simply stir things up? Or perhaps it's a case of reading too much between the lines? The opening ceremony featured a broad array of performers, including drag queens, models, dancers, and fashion celebrities. It was praised for its daring, non-traditional approach. Amid all the splendor of the opening ceremony, one act sparked a worldwide firestorm. A tableau so controversial that people are asking, what were they thinking? The Olympic ceremony's recreation of Leonardo da Vinci's masterpiece, The Last Supper, created the most controversy. The enormous table was covered with drag queens and dancers, creating a scene strangely reminiscent of Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper. Many spectators were upset by the flashy spectacle that represented Jesus Christ and his 12 apostles. The backlash was swift. The official Olympic account removed the video from YouTube after a significant amount of criticism. The statement that greeted viewers was quite blunt. This video is not available. But the damage had already been done. In response to the outcry, the Paris Olympics organizers apologized to Catholic and Christian organizations and expressed regret for the controversial tableau. Paris 2024 spokesperson Anne de Camps addressed the issue and apologized, attempting to quell the firestorm that had ignited. We had no intention of showing disrespect to any religious group. On the contrary, we tried to celebrate community tolerance, she stated. Looking at the results of the polls we shared, we believe this goal was achieved. If people have taken offense, we are, of course, deeply sorry. The United States and other Western nations responded quickly to this issue, viewing it as an insult to Christianity, which many people practice in Europe and North America. Many people, even outside the Christian community, are opposed to any negative portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even prominent figures voice their opinions. The CEO of Tesla and X, Elon Musk, criticized the event, declaring that Christianity has become toothless. French politician Marion Maréchal added fuel to the fire by condemning the act. She insisted that it represented the views of an aggressive minority, not France. The impacts extend beyond social media. Citing the performance's inappropriate content, Ceasefire, a significant U.S. tech corporation, withdrew its sponsorship of the advertisement. Was everyone offended? Absolutely not. Some praised the artistic vision, viewing it as a bold declaration of inclusivity. James Lapine, the president of the French LGBT community, highlighted the ongoing struggle for LGBT rights in France and saw the tableau as a call for progress. There's no criticism of people who appreciate this kind of work. This is merely a personal belief. It's just about wanting to avoid visual offense while praying. But the message the Olympics were trying to convey to Christians is quite clear. It appeared that their aim was to agitate and provoke. Many find it difficult to accept their apology and their claim that they weren't trying to create problems. People think the organizers were well aware of their craft. The situation is further complicated by the claim that the artwork exclusively depicts the feast of the Greek gods and uses Dionysus, the blue figure, as an example. Still, people debate whether the blue figure at the center of the feast symbolized Jesus Christ or a combination of Dionysus and Jesus. If that's the case, more questions arise. Dionysus was commonly associated with wine, but he was much more than that. He was linked to a number of disturbing customs among gods. It appears that the decision to center the Last Supper around Dionysus is an outright affront to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to ignore how the Bible is evoked in this decision. The Bible describes the time Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth as being extremely corrupt, worse than many believe we live in now. To see why this choice is so disturbing, consider the ancient Greeks' worship of Dionysus. Dionysus, the god of wine, was at the center of numerous highly questionable and immoral customs during that period. His followers practiced strange and even frightening rituals, and there was a kind of spiritual darkness. It's evident the Greeks were living in a time of pure evil when considering the worship of Dionysus and other activities of that era. This suggests that the Olympic ceremony may have intentionally chosen to invoke that troubled history, and now it seems to be having a disturbing effect, as if that ancient darkness is spilling into the present day. Is the Olympic ceremony deliberately reviving this evil in our time? That seems to be the case. The symbols used indicate an effort to resurrect the sinister past, and it appears they are starting to succeed. Observe the hand gesture of the woman in the middle of the Last Supper scene. Now, note how Lady Gaga performed with a heart gesture in a similar manner. Taylor Swift, Beyoncé, and Katy Perry have all used the exact same hand sign. Why are so many celebrities using this symbol? It seems like they're defining love in this way. However, the love described in the Bible is not like this at all. The Bible teaches us to love everyone. And the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated the greatest act of love by giving his life for us. It's essential for Christians to understand the purpose behind these symbols. There seems to be an attempt to change the world and promote a different form of love. It doesn't matter if this plan is what the Antichrist uses to control the world. We still need to love and pray for these people. If they continue to spread this false definition of love, we'll have to preach righteousness and truth and warn them of the coming wrath. Now, let's focus on the fact that something good has truly happened. The Olympics have officially removed their controversial opening ceremony video. Why? Because people from all walks of life, Christians, atheists, and believers of other faiths, took notice and stepped up, saying, "This is wrong." This situation demonstrates how Christians can make a difference when they unite and seek unity, ignoring doctrinal or denominational differences. When people come together, their light can truly overcome the darkness. Let this serve as a reminder throughout the entire Olympic ceremony. People are more dependent on each other than ever as the world grows darker. By working together, challenges can be overcome, and light can be brought to these seemingly dark times. The one core concept that unites all Christians is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel represents the highest hope and salvation beyond this world. Prioritizing harmony and cooperation over arguing about minor issues and ideological debates is crucial. Believers can unite around the central message of Jesus Christ and use their combined strength to make a significant impact in the world. People are stronger and more successful in achieving their common goals and values when they come together in Christ. As Jesus Christ declared, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The book of Daniel confirms that God's dominion will last forever, meaning that Christianity will continue despite all obstacles. Jesus is returning to gather all those who follow his teachings and love him. Thus, Christians can be confident that their faith is stable and unshakable through all of life's difficulties. Let's consider this as we come to a close. When does artistic freedom cross the line into outright mockery? The Christian community is under pressure right now, but who will be in the crossfire tomorrow? It's important to think about how to balance respect and creativity. If you made it all the way to this part of the video, you may qualify for our membership, so you might want to listen closely. It's an exclusive area where we release videos that we cannot show to the general public yet. You'll get to see everything first and learn about truths we cannot reveal elsewhere. If you want to learn more, click the link on the screen now or the link in the description.
Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family, and children, be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comment section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comment section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.